السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers, also sisters who listen over receivers. Last night also I mentioned and I repeat, this is a verse of the Quran Sharif which inshallah you will be listening to many, many times in the month of Ramadan. Because in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala very clearly informs us of the object, of the purpose, of the reason behind making fasting compulsory in the month of Ramadan. And it is not a new subject, it is a subject which you listen to practically every month of Ramadan. Whenever the month of Ramadan comes, all over there will be a repetition of those ayats of the Quran Sharif and those ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sayings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with regards to the virtues of Ramadan and with regards to the warnings that are given to those people who do not fast in Ramadan, or if they do observe the fast, then there is a great amount of negligence, indifference. It is as if they are just fulfilling some kind of duty and responsibility, and to get over it as quickly as possible, and the person is awaiting the moon of Eid. Before the month of Ramadan has set in, the person is already looking forward to the moon of Eid. That means there's no real enthusiasm, there's no interest. Ramadan is considered as one of the other months that just came and it's go and went, or it will come and go. So there are great warnings. It is not haram, it is not forbidden for the person to be looking forward to Eid when he's in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Now he's checking when will be the sunset on that day when we have to search for the moon of Eid, or you're looking forward to Eid ul-Fitr. That is a different issue. It is one of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the person is blessed with Eid. But what I am saying is that before the month of Ramadan starts, the person already feels burdened that some great musibat is coming upon me now, that I will have to fast from morning till evening. So the person is already looking forward to the moon sighting of Eid. Now that was not the lifestyle of a mu'min and a believer. So these ahadith are repeated, these ayat are repeated, so that we refreshen our iman, we refreshen our faith, we refreshen our belief, we refreshen our knowledge of the virtues of Ramadan. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam repeated it, the sahaba kiram repeated it, throughout the 14 centuries or 15 centuries of Islam, they have been repeated. So we cannot go and dig up some new ahadith. People want to hear something new about Ramadan. Philosophy of Ramadan. Now that is a very common thing, philosophy. So there's nothing wrong, there's a lot of philosophy in everything. But if you have to read the books recently being published, then it seems like all the emphasis is being placed on what are the physical benefits, the material benefits. Now as far as the physical and material benefits of fasting or dieting is concerned, there are so many books on the market. It's a multi-billion dollar industry today. Dieting, health foods, exercising machines, all these type of things. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. You don't need so many books to be written on the virtues of fasting, just to highlight what the physical benefits are. There are so many benefits, and everybody acknowledges. So many hakims have stated that if you are sick, and the cause of your sickness and illness is all the excessive eating that we indulge in, then fast for 3 days and see the benefits. A very prominent hakim has written that if you are suffering from some kind of sickness and you can't seem to find a cure, that as you are taking medication, the sickness is also increasing. So then probably it could be the excessive eating, indulgence in excessive eating. So if that is the cause, that you are not allowing your stomach to digest the food, and before the first eating is digested, we have already loaded it with a second and a third course and a tenth course, so then go on a fasting for 3 days fast. Stay away from food and drink, or eat the bare minimum, and then see the benefits of that. So now will we say that that was the reason why Allah Ta'ala prescribed fasting? That is a benefit. Just as in Salat, there's so much of benefits. But now if a person says in Salat, there are lots of benefits. Physically the body is strengthened, and all the parts of the body are exercised. When you are going into ruku, when you're standing up from ruku, you're going into sajda, there's so much of benefits. Like one person said that, one dihati, one ordinary villager. So some alim went past that village and gave a talk on the virtues of fasting. And he gave a talk on the virtues of salat. And by the way, he mentioned what were the material and physical benefits. After some time, when he came past, so he got hold of that alim and he said, I can't forget you. I always remember you in my dua, that you taught me how to make salat and namaz. So he said, MashaAllah, this seems to be some very good response. So he said, what is that benefit that you achieved? He said, I had a lot of gas problem. Now whenever I go into sajda, I easily release all the gas from my stomach. Now is that the benefit that was intended for that salat? So he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He said, was that the virtue of salat? So there are lots of benefits, nobody denies. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O ye believers, I prescribed fasting upon you as I prescribed on those before you, so that you get this taqwa in your lives. Abstinence from sins, fulfillment of the ahkam, the orders of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, it's not for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's benefit in any way. He will not benefit. If we do away with food and drink, what benefit Allah Ta'ala gets? But if we are going to have taqwa in our lives, there's going to be tremendous amount of benefit for us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts the crown of wilayat on the heads of those people who have taqwa. Now we talk a lot about graduation at schools and colleges and universities and Darul Ulooms. We say the person graduated. In a Darul Uloom, we will say that the turban was put on his head. And at the colleges, we will say the cap was placed on his head by the rector. So we consider that as something of great honor, that the person was capped. The person graduated. When the person will have taqwa in his lives, when the person will have this connection with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his heart will overfill with the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which will be gained through this fasting and salat and zakat and other ibadat, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put the crown of wilayat on his head. That crown that now you are my wali. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declares in the Quran Sharif, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. The person who will have taqwa, then that is the person that will get the wilayat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the friendship of Allah ta'ala, the closeness of Allah ta'ala. So what can be better than that? Therefore in one hadith, although two different translations are given, and the reading is in two different ways, But some have also said that in that hadith sharif in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that every amal that the person makes, the gist and the khulasa of that, because they are different ahadith but they mean the same thing, that when a person makes, I'm just giving you an explanation, when a person does any kind of amal, any kind of action, then there is a certain reward that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has fixed for that action, that this person, if he does this action, this amal, then this is what reward he must be given. If he makes salat, then this should be his reward. If he gives charity, this should be his reward. If there's great amount of sincerity in that charity, then he must give him this reward. If there's great amount of sincerity in that salat, in that ibadat, then he must be given this reward. Because sometimes the person is undertaking an action, but there's very little sincerity. But he has performed the salats. So he'll say, well, he'll get some kind of reward, but he won't get that 700 times reward, up to 700 times. So for every action, there is some kind of reward that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has fixed, and the angels are informed, they know how much to give. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, except fasting. Why? Because as-sawmu li wa ana ajzibi wa ana udzabihi. The two different readings mean this. One is that fasting, except for fasting. Because that fasting is for me. There's nothing else that could have made that person fast, except the conscious realization that my Allah is watching. What else? Nothing else. Nothing can prevent a person from eating and drinking in privacy. The person can go in the toilet and drink. The person can go and eat in the privacy of his home, in his office. He can leave from home like a fasting person. He even gets up for sehri and eats with all the children and with the family and makes a nice good sehri. And thereafter he goes and eats and drinks quietly. And when he comes in the evening, then again he makes iftar. They say one person was not keeping fast. He shouldn't fast. But iftar time he was the first one on the dastarkhan. So somebody told him that you don't fast, but we see you to be the first person on the dastarkhan for iftar. So he said, why should I commit two sins? If I didn't fast, then at least let me get the sawab of iftar. So you get some people like that too. He said, let me at least get the sawab of iftar. We were sitting on a dastarkhan on one of the weekdays in Madina Sharif. But there are lots of people fast in the month on Thursdays. So the dastarkhan was laid. 200-300 people must have been sitting on the dastarkhan. So we were sitting just behind the dastarkhan, waiting for Maghrib Salat. So the person came and offered us also some khajur, some dates. So I said clearly that I'm not fasting. Today I haven't kept a fast. It was a Thursday, not the month of Ramadan. So I said, I'm not a fasting person. So he said, Wallah. That person said, Wallah. In 200 mein se agar 10 aadmi ka bhi roza ho, to main qasam kha kar kehta hoon ki out of these 200, hardly 10 are keeping fast, he said. Most of them are just sitting here to have iftar. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that sawm is for me, and I am the one that will give the reward of this fasting. And the other reading is that I myself am the reward for that fast that this banda of mine has kept. We don't know what it is to fast in 50 degree heat in India in June, July. Sometimes it is 50 degrees, 45 degrees in other parts of the Middle East also. And there are people that are working on the fields. There are people that are working outside in that heat and they are fasting. And the fast is also of 16 hours, 17 hours. So what is it? Or who is it that makes it easy for that person to keep fast? First of all, it is that niyat that he makes, that I am a fasting person. In the morning he makes his niyat, that I am keeping fast. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the barakat of that niyat of his, where he is not showing any kind of weakness, he is not saying that today is going to be 45 degree heat, so how am I going to fast? I will feel thirsty by 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Now already he is showing weakness. So then he's not going to get barakat also in that niyat. But if the person says, come what may, I am going to fast. Of course, again, we must be very, very careful. Islam is very balanced. Islam is a perfect religion. We must not go on to extremes. If a genuine, reliable, good Muslim physician, or even if he's not a Muslim, but he is a reliable physician and a doctor, and the person has been taking treatment by that physician, and that person is not known to purposely make a Muslim do something that is against his faith and religion, but if it is the opinion of such a good physician or doctor or specialist that if you are going to fast, if you are going to go for the virtue of fast, then there is a possibility, there is a likelihood that this sickness of yours will increase. And this little strength and health that you seem to have now, you may become so weak that afterwards you can't even stand up for your salat. So at such a time, it's permissible. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself, when he is mentioning in the Quran Sharif, that if the person is sick, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives him the concession. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر. So in one of the ayats, Allah Ta'ala says that if somebody amongst you is sick or is going to suffer, then he must keep the fast afterwards. So if he can keep it without really causing serious harm to his health, then it is permissible to keep it. But he must not go on to an extreme and tell the doctor that, no, whatever happens, if I die, I die, but I'm not going to forego my fast. That is not Shariat. After that, people blame Shariat. They say, what kind of Islam is that no concession is given in such a case? So that is an exemption. But at the same time, the person must not look forward to exemption in the month of Ramadan. That the whole year round he never had sugar diabetes. But when it comes to Ramadan, then suddenly he says, my sugar goes high, my pressure goes high, and everything else goes high, only in the month of Ramadan. So Allah Ta'ala knows what the niyats are. Allah Ta'ala looks into the hearts. We cannot deceive Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But if a person is genuinely ill, then there is that exemption. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that I am the reward of that fast. Because this person, nothing else kept him away. Nothing else can keep him away. That is the training that this fasting is giving in the month of Ramadan. That my Allah is watching. We are not concerned about the cameras and about the CCTV, and we're not worried about the cameras on the cell phones and everything else. All those things are watching. And the eyes of people are also watching. But those eyes cannot see whether this person is fasting or not. Even today there could be people fasting in this congregation. But can we see? Can we just look at the eyes and say, yeah, definitely this person is a fasting person? That only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows. So if we become so conscious, and this is what I keep repeating every month of Ramadan when it comes, and since we will be entering Ramadan, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives us life. So from now we must make up our mind that this is what we want to develop. God consciousness that my Allah is watching every move of mine. I cannot deceive and get away. In this world we can get away. Fraudulent signatures we can get away. Speaking lies we can get away. False promises and oaths we can get away. Lots of things we can get away. Look at the amount of corruption that is from the highest level to the lowest level. Nothing but corruption. Look at the millions and billions that are disappearing from government coffers. Why is nobody concerned? Because there's no iman. The person does not believe that there is such a thing as existence of Allah Ta'ala. The person doesn't believe in the day of judgment, accountability, etc. So therefore the person is going to steal. Who is going to stop him and prevent him? The only thing he's concerned that no camera must click him and no eyes must watch him. But we believe that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching. And he's got angels that are recording. Every move and every action of ours, the angels are recording. Kiraman katibina ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. So where are we going to get away? So this fasting, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if we take the other reading, then he says, I am the reward. Because this person, he kept this fast solely for me. Other things you can show off also, and there can be lots of things done for the sake of name and fame. But for fasting, as I said, even if that person has sehri and comes back for iftar, he can still go and eat and drink privately. He can do lots of things which are haram. And unfortunately, many people are caught out even continuing with their illicit love relationships in the month of Ramadan. In fact, some of them, it increased in the month of Ramadan. And they even got caught committing adultery or fornication. And afterwards, they want to know now what is the fidya, what is the kafara. So it is only if the person makes a little effort from before Ramadan, then it becomes easy in Ramadan, because the evil shayateen and devils are chained in Ramadan. But the habit that is formed over the 11 months of the year, the habit doesn't go. The habit doesn't go. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I am the reward. Because this person, it is only that awareness that I am watching. So for my pleasure, that it is my hukam, my order. So for my pleasure, he has observed the fast. So I become his reward. And that is exactly what we say in the dua. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera. Falak mera, zami meri. Oh my beloved Allah, if you are not mine, then nothing is mine. Nothing, believe me brothers, nothing is ours if Allah is not ours. We will have plentiful of the material world, but there will be restlessness, anxieties, worries, problems, fights, friction, disunity. The homes will be on fire, the lives will be on fire. Sometimes the person doesn't realize it, but that is like the person who has been given chloroform. When he's given chloroform, then at that time the person... The surgeons, they do exactly, I always say, they do exactly that which our wives do in the kitchens. They cut, slice, chip, chop. But at that time, the person doesn't feel any pain. He's quite happy. In fact, sometimes when he's given those drugs, then he goes on such a high that he thinks that he is in another world of enjoyment and pleasure. But when he comes to his consciousness, when the effects of the chloroform wear out, then ask him how much of pain and suffering and problem he has now. But again, of course, we must not think that all those who are pious, righteous, Allah Wala's, the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, and so many others who went through different kinds of sicknesses, diseases, hardships, problems, that was an azab of Allah Ta'ala. For the pious and the righteous, it is not an azab. It is a way that Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate them. Allah Ta'ala wants to bring them even closer. Allah Ta'ala wants to give them the reward of sabr and patience. So we must not categorize everybody or generalize and say everybody who is suffering some kind of hardship and difficulty is azab of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that that person, I become his reward. Inshallah we'll continue with this topic of fasting in the month of Ramadan as we go along. Well, let us see what is the introduction to the month of Ramadan from a hotel in one of our Muslim countries. Magical Ramadan nights with barbecue and live music. Magical Ramadan night with barbecue and live music. Join us for an extensive iftar buffet spread with traditional specialities and brimming barbecue at the terrace with the mixed grill, charcoal and pasta stations. Shisha and traditional drinks will be served in a customary setting. Suhoor will begin the time is not very clear, on weekdays and 2 p.m. on weekdays, harmonized with live music. That is the introduction to the month of Ramadan in our Muslim countries. And this is just one. Otherwise, if you go and look at the papers, look at the advertisements, then you will find plentiful. And in our country too, soon you will see plentiful. Come and spend your Eid with us, with music and dance. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then can we complain about our suffering and the Muslims going through different kinds of hardships and problems and pain in the Muslim lands and the harassment? So let us, at least who are here, and wherever the voice will reach through the tapes and on the internet and on the radio stations, Let us at least make up our minds that we have spent too many Ramzans in idle chit-chat, gossip, extravagance, waste of valuable and precious time. So let us make this Ramadan the Ramadan of all Ramadans. A Ramadan free from backbiting, from gossip, from cheating, from deceiving, from causing anybody any harm. Payment, make up our mind, we want to pay our debts. If we are owing people, at least we go and ask them for extension of time. But we don't cheat, we don't deceive, we don't speak lies, we don't break promises, we don't do anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Just for 30 days, if we go on a strict diet from sins, at the end of Ramadan, then you will see what kind of noor and tajalli of Allah Ta'ala you will experience in your heart. There is an experience, but we have to do something to get that experience. So I am making that pledge to my Allah that inshallah I will try. And you too make that pledge that inshallah we'll try. Let's make an effort, let's try. And then see what Allah Ta'ala gives, both in this world and in the akhirah. It's not only promises for the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala will give in this world peace, harmony, sukoon, a beautiful life. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. And that is what we are clamoring for. We want it. So inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us life, health in the month of Ramadan and the tawfiq to do good amal and good deeds. Go to the businesses, do a little bit of earning, livelihood business. But then spend most of the time in ibadat, zikr, tilawat, because this month doesn't remain all the time. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of mankind. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.